You know what I wasn't ready for, Keith?
What's that?
Any of that last
that
night.
That was a mess.
Hi,
sir, ma'am.
Holy
mackerel.
Personally, did not see any of that coming.
You had upset alert. You were saying Pats were going to win. You were even looking ahead to the rest of the schedule.
You looked
past the Jets.
I was picking out, Niners are in play.
Yep, right.
I'm like, Dolphins without two, a foregone conclusion.
Listen, we're all wrong at times. Woo. Nothing is in play. This team, here's what it is. Last night was exactly what we feared going into the season and what a lot of us kind of thought the season might look like. And I think it was fool's gold, the Cincinnati game. You saw more signs of it, but at least they were able to move the ball and make a few stops in the Seattle game. But then last night, that just sort of exposed everything. You know, the offensive line is now down to second and third stringers. When the starters suck, the second stringers are worse. Yep. The third stringers just do that, whatever that is. That's a mess. But they couldn't move the ball at all. Defensively, they couldn't get off the field now for the second straight week, right? They've made two quarterbacks back-to-back weeks look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Aaron Rodgers for his career is amazing, but he wasn't amazing the first 2 weeks, but he looked great last night. Geno Smith looked great in week two. And so it was a non-competitive game where, man, like the entertainment value, zero for the Patriots. And that is rough. That was a rough go last night. Primetime, whole league is watching, and good gravy. That's what you come up with?
I mean, you say that's what you came up with. Like, the coaching staff has a lot of blame to go around today.
DeMarcus Covington joining us later.
We will talk to DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator, where, you know, I don't know what that was last night from him or the offensive coaching staff or the head coach or the players or the roster assembled by Elliott Wolf. But you said it, Keith. Week one was fool's gold.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we thought the Patriots were going to be. Well, actually, you know, I thought they'd go over 4.5 wins. It's worse than I thought they would be.
I thought 3. I bumped it up to 4 after the Cincy game, so shame on me.
That's worse than I thought they were capable of. I personally didn't see it coming. And even if you did, even if you thought they were going to lose, did anyone think it was going to be that bad and that ugly? And we now have our answer about week one. Was week one more about what the Patriots did or about the Bengals boycotting and overlooking the Pats? It was more about Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati,
like,
has
clearly
Oh my god, yeah. Well, and they also have a track record under Zachary Taylor of
starting
just really
slow
starts. Week one, horrible week ones, bad Septembers. Plus, you throw in no T. Higgins and some of the other contract issues. Jamar Chase didn't want to be there, so you kind of toss that one to the side. And then Seattle, you know, was a very competitive game. I'm not going to like retroactively take that away and say it wasn't competitive. Went to overtime, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there was a lot of issues there. We thought the defense was better after week one, and Geno Smith throws for 327 yards. They couldn't get off the field. They gave up a huge play to DK Metcalf. They gave up a bunch of like small first down plays to Smith and Jigba. They didn't even have to go up against the Seahawks' best running back, and still they didn't look great, and they couldn't get stops when they needed to, right? End of regulation and in overtime. But then you go to last night, and it's just the worst of everything. Like, there's no real bright spots from it. Like, the offense was bad across the board. The defense was bad across the board. And, you know, strange when a 21-point loss is like, didn't really, the scoreboard didn't really tell you the tale.
24-3 doesn't even come close to telling you how much of a blowout and a beatdown that
correct,
was.
Correct.
Not even close.
No.
So, silver lining, bright spot. Maybe you're getting Drake May. No. Like, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, so there is that.
Maybe,
so Drake May makes his debut.
Maybe you're getting Drake May. And I want to get into that as we go along here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. You know the number. Lottie already lining up. 617-779-7937. Lines are open. Get in there. We'll talk about this all day long here on Jones and Keefe. You can text the show 37937. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Or on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. So, Keith, I'm ready to bend the knee. Like, I thought there were wins on the schedule. I thought the schedule, just as of yesterday, didn't look so bad. You couldn't have played worse than last night.
It's just funny because on Tier Tuesday, we put them in the tier of could be worse.
And
it turns out it can be worse, and it is worse.
They need to move to number 2 pick watch.
Yeah,
as someone tweeted at you last night,
correct,
at
Keith21, right.
We need to move this team to number 2 pick watch because they're in the mix for not Carolina bad, but pretty damn close. I don't even know where to start with last night.
All right, let's start with this.
They can't protect Jacoby Brissett.
No.
Jacoby Brissett stinks. The defense, I've never been less confident in a defense getting a stop on third down. They made Aaron Rodgers look like vintage MVP Aaron Rodgers. So I really don't know where to start. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with this because Drake Maye came in at the end of the game. So let's work our way towards Drake Maye. Let's start with the beginning of the game where we were wondering if Pop Douglas, Pop on the tape Douglas, who you know says he's been open.
Popping off in the locker room.
Pop off Douglas. He of the zero career touchdown catches. And I'm very pro receiver. You know, it pains me to say this, but he was sounding like a guy who was like Terrell Owens or Randy Moss or one of these guys. He's not. And he wanted the ball. And you and I both said yesterday, so this isn't revisionist history, because yesterday on the show we were saying there is a fine line. They shouldn't turn it over. They're not a pass team. But it doesn't mean you avoid your wide receivers. You can't have three wide receiver catches in a game like you did against Seattle.
Correct.
So that number needs to go higher, but you also can't overnight turn into something that you're not and complete 25 catches to receivers. That's not going to happen either. And so this is a team who needs to run the ball. The Jets are a team that was giving up yards on the ground going into last night. So they should have ran way more than they did. Next thing you know, they're behind. So they start passing. That's what I was going to say. They start passing. They start trying to get Pop Douglas the ball.
Yeah, so literally,
I didn't see that coming.
Literally the first play was play action.
Yep.
And,
for 0 yards.
Brissett had to just huck the ball away.
Gets it to his guy, Hunter Henry, for 0 yards.
And I believe 7 of the first 9 plays were passes. I meant to double check that. I think it's 7 out of the first 9 were passes.
I mean, the very first series was what? It was pass to Henry for 0, 1 yard for Stevenson, and then a deep incomplete pass, then punt. And that's so there was a lot of that. There's a lot of punting. Bryce Behringer, a lot of action for
good
him.
Good game for him.
Yep.
Bryce punt.
So you do have that. But no, I thought, were they really going to, go to Pop Douglas? And turns out they were. And like, that was not the right way to do it. So Pop Douglas ended the night with 9 targets and a carry.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he ended up with 7 catches for 69 yards, 1 carry for 9 yards. If Pop Douglas is the offense, though, you're screwed.
Yeah, I think we saw that last night. You're screwed. Yeah.
Ramondre Stevenson. Now, I know there's issues with Ramondre Stevenson. He fumbled. He's fumbled in every game, but he finally lost a fumble last night. He also set himself back on his one big run. He had the face mask where he, like, ripped the helmet off. But still, you've 6 carries? Like, what the hell is that? He goes from, like, 25 carries 1 week to 6?
So I thought Mike Giardi had a good tweet on this after the game. He says, I have a lot of questions tonight. The offensive approach seemed designated to satiate the grumbling pass catchers, which is what you were saying, different wording.
I don't know any of those words,
designed
but I think
to
we
satiate.
Said the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You want to keep the receivers happy.
Got it.
Satiate the grumbling pass catchers, despite the fact that the Jets have been porous against the run for the last couple of years.
Yes.
Then when the game script flipped, the Patriots couldn't do what they do best. Right, when you're down 2 scores, you can't run the way you want to run.
But even being down 2 scores, like, as bad as the first half was, right? So you're sitting there at halftime, you're like, what the hell was that? It was 14-3, and you were getting the ball.
Yeah, I kind of...
Like, you can still run.
It's crazy in retrospect. It's crazy I thought they could win the game. It's crazy I thought they were going to be better than I thought.
Yeah.
But at halftime, another crazy thing, I kind of still thought they were in the game.
It's 14-3. You know, the Jets missed the field goal, and so even though you've been absolutely dominated at that point, it's 11 points. So... That doesn't mean you need to just air it out when you get the ball. Like, you could still run, but at that point, it was, that ship had sailed, I guess, for them.
No, it had. And so the game plan was terrible last night. They couldn't tackle. I think the final number was 13 missed tackles for 100 extra yards for the Jets last night.
I also don't really understand that part of it.
The stat?
No, the
lack of tackling.
They tackled the snot out of it against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then they were a little bit worse, right? There's a couple more broken tackles against Seattle. But then last night, a ton of missed tackles. It's the same team. It's like the same month of the season. How often? Now, I know there's no Bentley, right? Like, so there is some players that didn't get as many reps in week one as you do in week three, but as a team, I thought they'd be much better tackling than they were.
Yeah, the lasting image from last night is Alex Austin, who replaced crappy Marco Wilson, but now you get crappy Alex Austin, is holding on to Alan Lazard's ripped jersey, stretched all the way to the end zone, breaking away on a missed tackle.
Yeah.
So that's the lasting image. The numbers last night are beyond ugly. At halftime, the Patriots have been outgained 252-40.
they couldn't get off the field, right? Like
the defense.
The defense could not get off the field.
The offense excelled at getting off the field. The defense couldn't get off the field.
Oh, Jones, offense had no problem getting off the field.
No, they were
off the field, no problem. You want a punt? I'll give you a punt.
They were among the best at it, yeah.
Yeah, the Patriots had four possessions in the first half, and one of them was end of half. Almost doesn't really count. So even some of the yards they got were garbage yards. They gave them that last catch going into the half. Like, go ahead, take it.
Not great, Bob.
Nope. So they went punt, field goal. That's all they had. They only had three possessions because after the Jets punted on their first possession, they had a 8-play touchdown drive of 4-13. But then this is the killer. They had a 13-play, 7-minute and 47-second drive. And then they had a 12-play drive that actually ended in a missed field goal.
Yeah.
So they were very fortunate that it wasn't, you know, at minimum 17-3.
No, time of possession was over 40 minutes for the Jets last night.
Lopsided.
First downs again at halftime were 17-4. Like, it's as bad as it could. You would never know it if you just woke up and looked at the score.
Yeah.
It was as lopsided of a game.
I'm also surprised they had four first downs.
No, it's true.
That does seem a little much.
We were talking about it before the show. I think some of them were by penalty. I think it was like pass interferences on Tyquan Thornton, which were questionable. And so it was as lopsided of a game as you're going to get. And the bottom line is Mayo didn't have him ready to go. Like, we can put it on Covington and his game plan or Alex Van Pelt and his game plan. Yeah. You're the head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
The team
Short week.
The team wasn't ready to go. Not at all. The Jets were ready to go. Aaron Rodgers was ready to go.
How about my guy Rodgers?
He was great.
Duke could spin it still.
Keith, another thing I was wrong about.
He could spin it.
He was moving well.
He did. He scooted nicely.
I didn't see that coming at all. He looked like a 25-year-old. Moving around on the field.
He looked really comfortable, though, which is a Patriots issue.
Mayo didn't have them ready to go. Like, Brissett sucks. The defense sucks. The offensive line sucks. Elliott Wolf sucks at building a team. The defensive game plan sucked. They can't tackle. The offensive game plan sucked. They threw too much. All of it sucked. Mayo didn't have them ready to go.
No, he did not. I mean, everything that I guess could have gone wrong in a way did. Like, it was just, it was a mess. It was embarrassing. It was against a division opponent in what, I don't know. You and I felt like it was a winnable game. You gave them the win. I thought it was going to be close. Like, just going into it, you know, both teams were 1-1. The Jets, I liked much more long term in this season. But if you looked at what they did the first 2 weeks, they weren't all that intimidating a presence. Rodgers hadn't gone over 200 yards passing. You could run on them, or so we thought, and they didn't go to any of that. Yeah, it's amazing when you just look at all the possessions for the Patriots in the game.
I'd rather not.
punt, field goal, end of half.
Yeah.
Punt, fumble, punt, end of game. That's it. That was like an
Iowa's box score.
Yeah, no, it is. Iowa Hawkeyes.
It is.
No, but the difference is Iowa's not giving up 24.
Right.
You know, Iowa's it's a 9-3. Like, who's going to
Iowa gonna play defense.
Yeah, so they 24-3. 24, it's almost as though you were playing a team that, like, didn't want to rub it in. Because it was like they could do whatever they wanted, and yet they still only got to 24. But the game was never in doubt. Like, the game, like, once they took control of the game, once we saw the Patriots have a couple of possessions, you're like, oh, they're not going anywhere.
No. No, they are not. So you can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. We are going to talk to DeMarcus Covington. He, the defensive coordinator for the unit that couldn't tackle last night. We're going to talk to Mike Onwenu. He of the offensive line that couldn't block last night.
It's going to be a tough go.
So that should be a good one throughout the course of the day.
Just one of 17, Jones. Just one of 17.
That's,
you can bounce back.
That's true.
Sunday.
We're going to talk
to the Niners.
Lou Maloney as well at noon. So stay tuned for all of that. You can listen live on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. We're over 17 minutes into the show, Keith.
Yes, we are.
Have not fully gotten into Drake May. I said earlier in the show, you want a silver lining, you want a potential bright spot, it's time to go to Drake May.
Really?
It's 10 days.
Really?
I know it's the Niners. It's time. Part of the reason the team looked so bad last night is they knew they had no chance once the Jets were rolled. They couldn't keep up. There was no answer. Wow. Offensively, you weren't going to get first downs. You weren't going to make plays. You were just going to beat Jacoby Brissett into a pulp. We'll play Mayo here in a moment. I want your thoughts first, but Mayo made it pretty clear to me.
Yep.
The door is open. He's going to speak at 11 o'clock. I think we'll go to the podium live to hear from him, just in case there's any updates there. He made it pretty clear the door is open. Brissett didn't sound thrilled after the game. May made it clear he's ready if the Patriots are going to make the switch. Now's the time. We were all thinking week 5 or week 6 at home.
Yeah.
You have 10 days to get Drake May in there, and I think that's the one big thing that we're going to be debating, discussing. We have already been discussing.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to be doing that all week going into the Niners, and I think the right move is to do it now.
You think play Drake May?
Yeah.
What, What if he gets tackled?
He did.
Jones,
last,
what if he gets hit?
He did last night.
What if he goes on the football field and gets bumped by somebody?
Yeah, well, it would be the first time in the history of the sport.
No, it's insane. Like,
yeah.
I hate this, and we'll get into it as the show goes on, but there's a lot of people that are, and maybe some of you, and that's fine. Like, and we can talk it out, and you guys can call in, but the, oh my God, he's going to get killed, you can't play him. It's football. It's football. Guys get hit. They can't get Joe Theismann anymore. You can't grab a quarterback's head, twist it around, and have it not be a penalty. You can't dive into their knees. Guys get hit. Everyone's going to show the one replay from last night where a guy was on his legs, he eluded him, and then he got, like, speared or, like, rock-bottomed or whatever. Guess what? He hopped back up. He kept going. He had the one semi-functional drive they had all night. So, of course, I want to play Drake May. I think it's comical that people don't. I think it's comical that people are like, oh, my God, if he gets hit, he'll never be a good quarterback ever. It'll break him. He can't physically, mentally, and emotionally, he won't be able to take it. Well, then, all right, then maybe he's just not that good.
Yeah.
I say play him. The rest of the guys on the team, as untalented as many of them are, still deserve to have the best chance to win. You're 1-2, right? You put them out there early. You don't need to drag this out any longer. You and I both wanted them out there week one. For whoever, Elliot Wolf or Alex Van Pelt, made the decision to go with Brissett, so fine. You have Brissett for not even all of three games, right? Drake May comes in, makes his debut week three. Josh Allen made his debut week one, his first start week two. Justin Herbert made his first start week two, and those guys never looked back. And so I would absolutely go with Drake May. And I also don't think the Niners are this, 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens.
They just lost to Sam Darnold.
Yeah. So, like, it's not like it. Before the season began, that looked a little bit more daunting than it is. It's also the mini bye week, if you will, so it's the perfect time to go from 30% of reps to 100% of reps, a couple extra practices. I think it's a no-brainer he should start week four.
Now is the time. Not everyone agrees it's a no-brainer.
No.
But we agree here on Jones and Keith. I mentioned Gerard Mayo asked about it after the game last night. Here's what he had to say about the looming quarterback decision.
You said you were going to evaluate film based on quarterback performance. Is there a possibility consider a change?
I don't know. Look, we talk about every single week, you're competing for a job. So we'll get together as a coaching staff and see where it goes.
Okay.
Like every week, competing for a job. Although he also said, if all goes well, he'll be the quarterback all season. I guess maybe the out there would be you're competing every week for it and you keep it every week. But yeah, that's for sure opening the door and then some.
Thank you. Mayo's all over the map, but the door was open last night. So
it's a jar.
We'll see if it's still a jar.
Yep.
At 11. If it is, that's telling to me. If he says, no, we're going with Jacoby, well, then we'll call off the dogs. But I would make the switch. But there's a lot of people out there that disagree, Keith. I'm reading through some of the tweets last night. Greg Bedard.
Yeah.
Don't even think about
what
starting Drake May.
Sorry, I've thought about it. I've thought about it quite a bit.
It's all
I think about.
Minority Report, intellectual property.
He knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. Don't even let it go through your mind, says Greg Bedard.
Now that's all I can think about. Why don't you tell me not to do something? I'm going to have a hard time not doing that.
The thought police are after you. Wee-oo.
I know I need to see this guy start.
Mark Daniels, no way.
No way.
The Patriots should remotely consider starting Drake May.
I would more than remotely.
I would go
right on down there and do it.
Drive into work. Not doing that over Zoom. Warren Sharp last night. Interesting, Drake May got his first reps without being prepped for this defense and playing behind a makeshift offensive line. Incredibly stupid, he said.
Huh?
Dumb move by Mayo just to get him into the game last night.
So at least that's consistent, right? Like, if you don't want to see him at all, you should be mad that he played last night. Right? Like, if you're so afraid, like, he goes onto the field, like, there's a chance he might get hit by another guy.
Yeah.
Like, another person might hit him.
Yeah. And they did, and he's fine.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Wait till the x-rays come back. We gotta see how that goes. No, I think if you are of the, and you just mentioned Bedard and Daniels, just two, and they're not alone. There are many others. If that's the case, in all seriousness, maybe just call off the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real. Like, call the league and be like, listen, we don't have it. You can give forfeit wins to everybody else, but we got to protect these guys.
There's 31 other teams. I think you have enough.
You got plenty of games.
Yeah.
We're not on primetime anymore, so you're not going to miss any of those. And just give them a win. We're thinking health of the league. We're thinking health of the guy. We just need to get together, find some better linemen for next year, and then maybe Drake May can take the
field.
Then
we'll be ready to compete.
But we're going to take the forfeits the rest of the way.
So what do they do? You sticking with Jacoby, or is it time to go to Drake May with 10 games going into, admittedly, a tough matchup on the road against the San Francisco 49ers? Have you ever seen the Patriots worse? I'm not sure I have.
Oof.
Not in quite some time. That was awful last night.
There were some bad Mac Jones. When there was that back-to-back week when...
I think this might have been worse than... I can't believe I'm saying it. I think this might have been worse than some of the Mac Jones games.
Saints-Cowboys back-to-back.
So this was as bad of a blowout, and at least in those games, I feel like they could move the football a little bit. Mac Jones had worse individual plays. This was This wasn't competitive. This was not competitive last night.
No, it was not.
So again, all your thoughts on it. What went wrong? Who do you blame? We'll talk to DeMarcus Covington. Great defensive performance last night. We'll talk to Mike and Wenu.
Yeah.
Great job by the offensive line. That's all on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. And when we come back, let's get further into the Drake May plan. Should Drake May start week 4? That's next.
I just thought it was an opportunity, a good opportunity for him to go out there with the ones and put a few drives together. He moved the ball. We'll watch the film and evaluate.
Did the performance of the offensive line give you any pause when it comes to putting Drake in that situation?
Well, like I said, in the second half, I felt like our offensive line, they just weren't blocking the way they did at earlier parts of the game. It definitely was something that I thought of personally, but at the same time, I thought it was too good of an opportunity for him to go out there and get some experience.
Jerod Mayo on Drake May. It's time. How could you disagree? I know a lot of you disagree, but I need to
Jones,
hear.
What if he gets tackled?
I need to hear how you disagree after
That's
watching
pretty
last
much
night.
It.
He might get hurt.
He could get tackled.
Okay.
He get hurt. Guys get hurt all the time.
I'll be honest, don't care. What'd you think of Drake May when he actually got in the game? What'd you think of the actual performance? He was 4 out of 8, 22 yards, something like that.
Yeah, I think he was trying to make the most of what he has around him because the offensive line is abysmal, right? You can't go too far talking about the offense without circling back to how bad the offensive line is. He also has no playmakers to go to. Neither does Jacoby Brissett. So I thought he tried to do the best he could with it. It was garbage time, but it was also his time. It was the only time we got to see him. And they moved the ball down inside the red zone. Right, he went in there, and it was a 16 play, 46 yards. And then, you know, as a little aside, and I know you could argue it's a loser mentality either way.
Oh, I'm with you on this.
Why not go for it? Why not call a timeout or hustle up to the line and get one last play, throw it in the end zone, see if you can score a touchdown with the kid?
Wouldn't you feel better if it was hurry up than calling timeouts and like really
yeah.
Devin Booker 70-point gaming it at the
but
end?
But it's not even that because you're not going for a record. You're trying to actually just get something to take away from a horrible game. And it's different when, if it was just Jacoby Brissett, you could be like, all right, like just end this. Let everybody get home as quick as you can. Let's forget about the game. But no, this is a different situation. This team very well could turn it over to a rookie quarterback. This is his first drive in
the
NFL.
He could learn.
But Mayo did this in the preseason too, and where it was like, hey, there's an opportunity to maybe squeeze out another play here in the 2-minute drill or end of half, and he just let the clock run out each time. So I know you'd also have people being like, hey, how lame is that that they took a shot at the end zone? I don't know. With the rookie quarterback on his first ever drive in the NFL, give him something. You know, I know you're not trying to prevent the shutout because you already have 3 on the board, but what if he's zipped in a touchdown? You take a little bit of momentum into the next week. Why not?
Oh, and it'd be fever pitch to get him in there next week if he did
maybe
it.
That's why.
So maybe that is part of why. But I'm with you. I would have done it. I would have preferred they hustled up and like spiked it instead of, you know, we're calling timeouts to really manage it. But I'm with you on that. And I thought May looked pretty good. He almost threw a pick.
Yeah, right away.
And that
away.
Was horrendous.
Yeah.
And
that's like sort of a welcome to the NFL type of thing where you're like, you're in there. He's probably like heart pounding through his chest. His mind is going a million miles an hour.
But,
and he got away with one.
But he almost threw a pick. He got a Batista body slam to the ground, right? Am I saying that right? You're the wrestling guys.
Yeah, but it was a little bit of like a rock bottom, people were saying. Yeah. Well, because he was like eluding one rusher on the bottom, so he got kind of twisted around.
Yeah.
But that's also, I think all those guys will say, you're not even really playing until you get hit.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, with this offensive line, you're going to get hit all
and
the time. But
I agree with something Shyam said this morning. I heard Shyam say this driving in. I think he's right. I think May, after he finally got hit, settled in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So he had 4 of their 11 first downs last night. They only had 11 first downs. He had 4 of them on one drive. Right. And they needed 4th down a couple of times. They were scrambles. They weren't the prettiest. The throw to Pop Douglas was great.
Yep.
But, you know, it was late. The Jets are checked out. Like, I get all those things.
But whatever.
He moved the ball.
Yeah.
You didn't move the ball all night. He moved the ball.
No, they did not.
Drake May was asked about this after the game. He says he's ready to go if his number's called.
Jerod was asked if you guys would make a quarterback change, and he didn't say no. If you were asked to start, do you feel like you would be ready?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the kind of, you know, what I'm doing, you know, week in, week out. I'll be ready to, you know, when my name is called, when my number's called, go out there and try to make some plays. So, anytime, I've been preparing like I'm the starter, and at the same time, you know, Kobe, I've been there for Kobe. He battled tonight. I mean, what a kept on getting up every time, jogging off, encouraging the guys on the sideline. So he made some great throws tonight.
Okay. So he's ready to go. A little compliment to Jacoby Brissett.
Sure. No, I'm sure those guys get along fine, but like he's ready to go. He thinks he's the third pick in the draft. He doesn't want to be sitting around.
No, and he shouldn't. And we agree. Now's the time. I know a lot of you disagree. Some of you want to put him in bubble wrap. Mark Daniels says no chance. Greg Bedard, Thought Police, says don't even think about it.
No.
Thought Police are after you if it even crosses your mind.
Just quit the season then.
Yeah,
like,
please.
Don't play. Please. We're not here to play then.
So I would go to him. But there's a bigger problem with the Patriots. It was game planning. Defensively, no answers for Aaron Rodgers. Offensively, too much throwing, not enough running, maybe to keep Pop Douglas happy. And Gerard Mayo didn't have him ready to go. It was arguably the least competitive game I've seen in a long, long, long time for the Patriots. So all your thoughts on it here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Get us started today, Mark.
Hey, Jonesy, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. At no point last night was that game competitive. I mean, if you listen closely enough, I think you heard Rob Snyder saying, "Oh no, we suck again." But yeah, I was pissed. I was pissed at Gerard Mayo. It's 24-3. There's 4 minutes left. Your team's pretty much dejected out there, and that's when you put in Drake May. I was like, "You idiot! What are you doing?"
Okay, so he doesn't like putting him in at the end. I like putting him in at the end.
I don't have any problem putting him in at the end, but I think if you're going to put him in the end, give him a shot in the end zone, right? Like what we're just saying.
Agreed.
So like, it seems like either don't put him in at all, put him in, let him make a play, let him see if he can do anything else, rather than just letting the clock run out.
Did you see this story after the game, Mike Garofalo,
with Aaron Rodgers?
He was waiting for Aaron Rodgers after the game.
Right.
Garofalo said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm waiting for the GOAT."
Yeah, Tom Brady didn't do the game, which is crazy. It wasn't a Fox game.
I'm waiting for the GOAT. And you just kind of seem like you're like a waiting for an autograph or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I'll be honest, if there's anything I hated about Drake May last night, it wasn't the near pick.
See, I don't
it wasn't
that.
The body slam. It's that. I don't
want
that.
Well, guys, is it because you don't like Aaron Rodgers or just because he's looking? Okay. Because guys used to wait around for Tom Brady all the time. Remember, guys were obsessed with Brady. Guys were always trying to trade jerseys with Brady. Guys would always, they would see him as like a god.
Yeah, and then I would call them losers.
Okay, that's fine. You're consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
But Brady also makes more sense to feel that way about.
Yeah.
He's got 7 Super Bowls. Like, Aaron Rodgers has 1. Aaron Rodgers is really good, but I don't think Drake May wants to tell too many people in New England that he thinks he's the GOAT.
Yeah,
I don't think you really want that going on.
That's not even Mike. I'm not like, he thinks Aaron Rodgers is better than Brady.
I don't think he should say that.
No, but I think it's
not
probably
here anyway.
Unfortunate word choice,
yeah.
And hopefully he's going to learn from that real fast. But next time you want to go high-five Aaron Rodgers, do it in the tunnel. Like, let's not wait around
in the open.
For an autograph. Like, you know, me at Bryant College waiting for Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, but seriously,
30 years ago.
But I don't mind it as much as you do because Drake May was, I think, 1 year old when Aaron Rodgers was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something insane like that. So his entire football life, he has seen Aaron Rodgers play in the NFL, and now he's playing against him. Like, that is pretty cool.
Keep it to yourself. Jonathan's in Randolph. Go ahead, Jonathan.
So this is why I said last week was a must win. And one thing I want to get out of the way because I'm sure it's coming.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, they got to bring back Scar. Scar will fix all this.
Yeah, no problem. It will happen.
There is no salvaging this offensive line. Like, I mean, genuinely, what can you do? Like you say, like scheme stuff. You can't scheme just being this trash. And whether Drake May plays or not, fine. Yeah, throw him out there. I agree. At least they'll be entertaining. But this offensive line is just so bad that I don't see any way with this coaching staff, especially with AVP, that this can get better.
Okay, they might be going to their fourth left tackle. By the way, you see who was out there at the end of the game?
Oh, it was the guy
Skarnecchia.
It was like practice squad guys and guys they claimed. It was like all scrubs.
The left side of their offensive line last night.
Well, so last night, before you get into that, the starting left tackle yesterday was
Caden Wallace.
A right tackle. No, but I'm saying like he was right tackle in college, third round pick that wasn't ready to play right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Week 3, he's starting at left tackle for probably the first time since high school.
Right.
Maybe even then, I'm not sure.
Because Cheeks Okorafor left the team.
Quit the team.
And Vedarian Lowe, who was terrible last year, no one wanted to see, and now is like considered the savior.
Need that guy.
I heard Curran last night on NBC Sports Boston being like, they didn't have Vedarian Lowe. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Okay.
No,
so,
but
he's hurt now.
But so Caden Wallace is the third choice. He's not even a left tackle, and he's a rookie. But he was starting over these other guys who are now in the game.
Yep.
So, I'm with anybody that wants to call in and be like, the offensive line's terrible. No matter who the quarterback is, they're in trouble. Agreed.
Right.
Agreed.
Who gives them a better chance?
Drake May does.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with both those things. The offensive line's bad. Yep. Got it.
Sure is.
So now who gives them a better chance?
Right.
Drake May. By the way.
And the offensive line's so bad, too. And now it goes back to the thing that people were saying in week one is like, oh, my God, you're going to get Drake May killed. Well, Tom Curran already predicted a Jacoby Brissett injury, and he keep predicting it because it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to hit on that at some point.
Yeah.
So then you're going to go to Drake May anyway, unless you're, Andrew Callahan who says go to Joe Milton.
Go to Joe Milton.
Okay.
I think
just Breer, go all Wildcat with Ramondre.
Breer said go sign a veteran. Breer tweeted this in the fourth quarter last night.
Ooh, who do we got? Who's out there?
Tannehill, somebody like that.
Ryan Tannehill.
That's the answer. Here were the offensive linemen last night.
These are the who's who.
These are replacing, by the way, Michael Jordan and Caden Wallace.
Jordan.
Not great.
No.
Caden Wallace had back-to-back holds last night. That was my favorite part of the game. The team had three consecutive holds, and he had two of them.
Well, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Demontre Jacobs.
Who?
Would be your left tackle.
Oh, that's who that was. I saw Jacobs. Like, I don't have no idea.
Brandon Jacobs is back as a left tackle.
Demontre Jacobs.
Okay.
Zach Thomas, future Hall of Famer.
Zach Thomas. Kind of an undersized linebacker, right? Just kind of shorter linebacker. Thick.
They have the wrong Michael Jordan and the wrong Zach Thomas. I just realized that.
Do you think they're both named after those guys? It must be.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
So that could be the starting left side of your offensive line, potentially.
Is City So ever coming back?
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, has he practiced? I don't
remember Cole Strange? First round pick, Cole Strange?
Bring back Scott Nekia. I mean, I'm with our guy Jonathan Randolph on that. He was right. That was kind of a must. That Seattle game
Seattle
was kind of a must,
was
win.
A must win.
That was a must win in retrospect.
Well, we've also had many callers say 1-16 on the table, and they ain't wrong.
Yeah, I think I might. Yesterday,
they ain't wrong.
Yesterday I had them 16-1. Today I might have
15-2.
Yeah, no. Today I might have a 1-16 based on how last night went.
This was rough.
That was it. We called it a swing game.
Yeah, it swung all right.
My God, has it swung.
Yikes.
617-779-7937. A lot of you waiting patiently here on a Patriots Friday. Our schedule will be joined by DeMarcus Covington. Great defensive showing last night. Mike and Wenyu, wonderful offensive line performance last night.
Oh, nice.
So we'll get to all of that here coming up on WEEI.
How did the coaches handle kind of telling you they were going to let Dre take that last series, and how do you feel about that?
Told me he's going in. I mean, what? I'm not going to art. Well, I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah, he just told me he's going in.
And then Gerard said before, like, I don't know what we do going forward. The coach don't want to look at it. Like, do you still feel like it's your job?
Oh, of course. I mean, I don't make personnel decisions. My job is to go out there, get ready to play, put good football on tape, and put my best foot forward.
Jacoby Brissett, Patriots starting quarterback for now. Last night after the game, he also added later on when Andrew Callahan asked him, about some direct comments from Gerard Mayo, basically leaving the door open. The comments we played you earlier here on Jones and Keefe, he said, I'm not going to overreact to something I didn't hear. And so Brissett, to me, doesn't sound thrilled that he's out there taking a beating, doing what the coaches are asking him to do, and there's already talk of switching to Drake May, but tough. It's what you signed up for.
Yeah,
dude.
I mean, he took this job in the offseason because he probably felt it was the only place he could start, right? So on the one hand, you're like, he's in a tough spot, but he's actually in the best spot for him. Like, he's been in the NFL long enough to know he's not a real starter for any club. And, like, I'm not trying to be insulting, but, like, he's only starting now because they're waiting for the number three pick. Like, they, unlike other teams, decided that the number three pick wasn't ready, even though the number one pick was, the number two pick was, the number 12 pick was. But they decided here that he isn't. But it's only a matter of time. And the chances of him sitting out the entire year were really slim. So you also don't have a lot to work with. So the chances of you getting out to a 3-0 start, or the chances of you 6 touchdowns, 1 pick, like that, are very unlikely. So you know, especially after a loss, and a loss where you don't move the ball, you score 3 points, you get sacked a bunch of times, you don't crack 100 yards passing. Yeah, there's obviously going to be a lot of talk about your job, and it's going to be asked to you. It's going to be asked to your head coach and everybody else.
And a lot of people are saying, Jacoby Brissett, and I saw some of this after the game still last night, Keith. But we know during the week, it's a miracle what Brissett's giving you.
That didn't look like a miracle last night.
He's been excellent. I say Tom Curran, he's been excellent. He goes, excellent. And so
he still hasn't turned it over.
No, he hasn't.
Now he's on pace. Now I like to keep track of these things, like the projected totals. He's on pace for 5 touchdown passes.
5 touchdowns against 0 picks.
5 touchdowns.
That's no picks, Keith.
No picks.
What's he on pace for sacks?
A lot.
Because he's getting crushed, but I think some of that's on him. Yeah. And Breer tweeted last night, the hits keep on coming. I wouldn't think about subjecting Drake May to this if I were the Patriots. In fact, this would make me think about going out and getting the veteran backup just to cover myself in case Brissett gets hurt.
See, I think that ship sailed. Like, I don't think that's what they feel like as a group. Otherwise, Bailey Zappe would have somehow still been on this team.
Yeah, maybe they don't like Zappe, but you could have brought in the Tannehills of the world, or like Tyler Huntley was signed off the Ravens practice squad to the Dolphins.
But
like,
they've had
there were guys.
Three straight games this year where it is Jacoby Brissett as the starter, you have Drake May as the active backup, and then you have Joe Milton as like the emergency guy. So you have two rookies as the backups. That's what they've decided to do at this point, knowing that at any moment Jacoby Brissett could get hurt and you have to go to somebody else.
It's true. So to me, I think it's time to go to Drake May. I know you agree. Jacoby Brissett, a lot of last night is on him. Like, the offensive line's terrible. I get it.
Stinks.
But you hold the ball too long. You don't see open receivers. And when they are open and running across the middle of the field like Austin Hooper,
hit him.
You miss them.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a throw that any quarterback in the NFL should make. That's a throw I think Drake May would make. And Brissett missed it last night. So don't tell me none of it's about him and no other quarterback could do better, because I'm sorry, I think they could. Bob is in Brimfield. Go ahead, Bob.
I was calling about the defense. I'm just curious how many plays they had last night. It was around 50 at halftime, so they must have been gassed. As far as Jacoby Brissett, he carried a clipboard for a fifth-round rookie last year. What do you expect?
Yeah, I think Howell was a second-year player, if I'm not wrong. Was he a rookie?
It was he was.
70 offensive plays for the Jets.
Yeah, we don't expect much. We want Drake May. So, like, we're not expecting it done. It was 73 total plays, right?
Oh, 73.
I was 73.
I see 70, but maybe counting penalties and stuff like that. Maybe
okay.
More.
Yeah, just because I was looking at Mike Reese. He does a breakdown after every game, and Tavai and Duggar both played all 73. Gonzalez played 71, and then on down the line.
Okay. I mean, they were gassed. It was 40 minutes for the Jets.
That's also on them.
But
right, it's both, right? Like, the offense doesn't do them any favors. The offense doesn't have any sustained drives. I think the longest they held it was a little over 4 minutes once with Brissett, and then a little over 4 minutes at the very end of the game when they ran the clock out with Drake May. Everything else, it's like one-minute possessions. So the offense not helping the defense at all. However, the defense is just giving up a first down after first down after first down after first down. Like, they're also on the field a ton.
The Jets were 10 of 15 on third down. I said this earlier. I said it in my notes, like, I've never been less confident in the Patriots defense getting a stop on third down than last night. Like, I didn't expect them by the end of the game to get any stops on third down, and they really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
If the Patriots tackled poorly in the second half, you'd go, okay, they got gas being out on the field. They were tackling poorly right from the start.
Oh, yeah.
That Alex Austin missed tackle on Allen Lazard was the second drive of the game for the Jets. And so that was, and I know it was a short week, so if you want to blame that, fine, but the Jets were also on a short week.
But that was like everybody, and I know the Jets have talent, but it was like Wilson was making guys miss, Hall, Allen.
Allen was running Lazard. People over. People bounce off that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty
Braylon
good.
Braylon Allen.
Yeah.
Young gun. Yeah,
he's a young pup.
Not saying sit Breece Hall or anything, but guys bounce off
it's
that guy.
It's a good combo, though. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize they had two backs like that.
Me neither. Yeah. Sorja is in Mansfield. Go ahead, Sorja.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Sorja says you have to go with May. We would agree.
It's got
to
be May.
So I was looking at the text line, and so they're saying, Keith, what are you talking about? Like, the offensive line for the other rookies is better. That's why those guys can play. Not true. Not true. Now, that's the other thing is, and I don't expect you or even Jones to know every single offensive line in the NFL, but every time a quarterback plays poorly, do we go right to the, like, well, who's the O-line? What's the O-line doing? What's the O-line? No, we say Bryce Young sucks.
We're like, Caleb
Bryce
Williams,
Young blows.
Caleb Williams
the
overrated.
Pitch blows. Like, that's what we say. It's on the quarterback, and it should be on the quarterback. But we were doing some of the preseason rankings, even after the first couple, like the PFF guys and the guys that really do analyze the offensive lines. Washington starting a rookie quarterback and Denver starting a rookie quarterback have offensive lines in the ballpark of New England, and yet they still went with rookies. I'm just saying that was the decision they made. So if Elliott Wolf and Alex Van Pelt put some of that on the offensive line, maybe, but I think they're also putting some of it on their own kind of philosophy of how to get the rookie quarterback in.
So how bad is it for the Patriots? How bad is it going to be this year for the Patriots? What do you do on the long 10 days going into the San Francisco game? Is it time to go to Drake May? You can jump in here on a Patriots Friday. Jones and Keefe with you on WEEI 617-779-7937. Your phone number all day. You can text the show at 37937. We will be joined, we believe, next hour by DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator. We'll also be joined by Patriots right tackle Mike Onwenu at some point today on a Patriots Friday. So stay tuned for all of it. We'll get back into the Patriots and how bad is it going to get for this team. Based on what we've seen, it's possible they're worse than certainly I thought and worse than we all thought. Let's get to that with your phone calls next.